Good morning to all of you. I greet you in Jesus' name. The only name given among men whereby we must be saved. Thank you, the Lord, for what we have heard already this morning. It was good to be here. The singing and for this morning, I have been thinking a little bit about a few things here. And I know it's familiar to all of you, but the topic that I'd like to talk about today is honor. And I just had to brief myself a little bit when I considered that topic of what do I honor today and what do I bestow it upon and why do I do it? So that's what I'd like to just talk about a little bit today. So why don't we, before I start, maybe we could stand and have a word of prayer. Yes, Heavenly Father, we do come before you here this morning. We come to you in Jesus' name. Lord, we want to give thanks for all the brethren that are here. We thank you, Lord, for the families that are represented in this body here, Lord. We pray that you would bless them and help us, Lord, as we consider the topic at hand today, that we'd have a right understanding. We pray for your spirit, Lord, to help us to divide the word of truth, that we could gain knowledge and understanding and hearts that would be surrendered to thy will in this area. We pray, Lord, that you would bless the word to our hearts. We thank you for the word of God that abides and endures forever. Help us, Lord, to cherish it and to treasure it as a vast of innumerable principles, Lord, that help us onto yourself. We pray, Lord, that we could be more like our Savior Jesus Christ in areas of our life. Help us to walk faithfully in the things that you've shown us and to learn to be more like you. We ask you to bless us and keep us this day according to thy will. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So when we hear that word, I'm not sure, you know, where our thoughts go or what they probably go to one of the commandments of the Ten Commandments that we are to honor our father and mother. But I would like to just talk about that and then areas in our life where I believe that honor can be something that is fixed in our life, that's in the back of our mind and hearts, that we either bestow honor or we dishonor. And it comes down to, I don't think that it's more than everyday life. Whom do we honor and whom do we not honor? And first of all, I think that there's a verse in Psalm 71, verse 8. I read this the other evening. I thought it was good for me. That it says, let my mouth be filled with thy praise and thy honor all the day long. That would be a guideline for each one of us, myself first. That to let my mouth be filled with praise and the Lord's honor all the day long. And the definition of honor here, as it gives it in Strong's and the Webster's, it says to revere, to respect, to treat with deference and submission, and to perform duties that go with it. That's one definition. The second one is to treat with due civility and respect in the ordinary course of life. God has placed things in our life to give us opportunity to do that. And one thing that I'd like to, and then that was the verb tense of it. The noun tense of it is very similar. It says, the esteem due or paid to worth, high estimation. The second definition is reverence, veneration, any act which reverence and submission are expressed as worship to God, our Creator. And then a question I put on is, where is our honor due? Where does it belong? It belongs to God. But if we honor what God honors, ultimately, he receives the glory. And then the next verse I'd like to turn to is in it's a very familiar verse in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30. This was where Eli lost his priesthood, I should say, because of disobedience of his son. The Lord had promised him the priesthood, an eternal priesthood. It says that, "Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me, for them that honor me I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed." So that is something, that's a truth that either it goes here or it goes here. And then there's consequence for both of those choices. And the first one I'd like to talk about a little bit is the Bible says to honor our fathers and our mothers. That's in Exodus and Deuteronomy, and then it was furthered. It's in all the Gospels except John, and it's also in Ephesians. So it's a living principle, and it'll never disappear. And one thing I'd like to, a few verses here that kind of puzzled me when I read them before, but I'd like for us to just consider a few verses here in Proverbs. If I can find them here quickly. I didn't have them wrote down. Proverbs, I think it is 15:33. Proverbs 15:33. That says, "The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility." And then in Proverbs 18:12, I think it repeats it somewhat similar. It says, "Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility." And I'd like to just think about that principle there, before honor is humility. That before we can honor something, we have to humble ourselves. And that goes with, in anything that we honor, we're actually lifting it up and putting it in its rightful place. We have to humble ourselves. Before honor is humility. Remember that. And another thing I'd like to talk about is just mention is that this principle of honor is from Genesis to Revelations. It's an eternal principle of God. And what are they saying in heaven? Blessing, glory, and honor. Blessing, glory, and honor belongeth unto our God. So when we honor what God said we should honor, it'll be well for us in our life. There's promises that are attached to it. And I'd like to just speak to the children here for a little bit. You know, this is a principle that I can't remove. And we all give an answer to it. You know, and remember, before honor is humility. In Exodus, you know, that was one of the Ten Commandments. And then, and the thing of it is, it doesn't just say, honor thy father and thy mother. It says that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Then it also says in the New Testament, I didn't write them down, but there's some references there I have here. I can find them here. It's in Matthew 15:4 is one. And then it says, "For God commanded, saying," this is Jesus speaking to the scribes, Honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father and mother, let him die the death. But ye, this was the people that had decided in their own hearts that they had the authority to lay aside that principle of honoring their parents. They said that we've got better things to do. Jesus called them hypocrites. Children, do you have better things to do than honor your parents? I want you to think about it. He said here that, but ye say, let's just read it. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites. Well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. I just think about that. You know, sometimes, you know, this hits a little closer to home than what we'd like to think. I believe that, you know, it's something, there's something about honor that is of God, and I think there's in areas in our life that we could all, you know, just, there's many scriptures that gives us to, and I don't want to just go on and on about mom and dads, but it just seems like, you know, it's the hardest thing in the world for a people or humanity to submit or surrender to what God has designed for them. The natural carnal man is in direct violation of everything that God wants to do for him. And in order to receive the promises of God and ultimately eternal life, we have to surrender and submit today to what his word teaches. That's the effects that it will have. And I think, and then honor is not something high and mighty. It is not. It is a very doable and livable thing in the little areas of my life. It is very practical, and it's not out there somewhere where I can't reach it. You know, if our parents ask us to do something and we do it, that's honoring God, and it's also, it brings glory. You'll receive the blessing if you have a cheerful, willing heart in just obeying what your parents ask you. That is because they have their good in mind. And remember this, that your parents, in all of their failings and things, in all of their mistakes, that does not disqualify you or qualify you to dishonor them. You understand? We make enough mistakes for sure, but that don't give you the children here right to disregard them. It's still, God says, honor your father and mother. And sometimes man has that idea that we have the license to lay things aside because they aren't where they should be. And believe you me, I can just say of a fact here, we as parents, we're probably never exactly where we should be. You can always use that crutch if you need to. But it still don't change the principle. The principle is eternal. Just something to consider here. And then honor is something that we have opportunities every day. Every day there's something that I can hold in high regard, and I always need to remember that before honor comes humility. Before you can hold something, put it in its rightful place, I have to humble myself. The scripture says to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time. Another promise. But let's just talk about, there's little things. I think that I'm going to talk about a little later on, I'll get to that, but to honor those that are older than we are. Each one of us, we have, in our life, we have someone we answer to or authorities. And I'm talking mostly about, I got a list here, that there are authorities in each one of our lives. First of all, as children, there's parents. Then when we get older and adults and we find work or jobs somewhere, there's the civil government. that we live under. We're to honor them as much as the scripture allows us to. We don't agree with everything they do, but God has placed them in their rightful place. And sometimes things look in a total disarray, but remember, God has it under control. He's got it taken care of. And so the civil government, whether that's the county commissioner, we go up to get permits at the courthouse for whatever it might be, license or building permits or septic permits, or if we have the means and the ability to honor those, it is our responsibility to do just that. And don't come away from there bitter at them because they're requiring something of thee. God has placed them there to direct the affairs of our lives. That's just speaking naturally. What about the police? How do we view them? Do we curse or swear under our breath at them when we see them? Or do we count it a blessing of God that, yes, they're overseeing things? And see, in this country, it's settled down a little bit now, but there was an uprising against the law establishment in our land. That's ungodly and unholy and profane. That it was down with the police and up with rebellion? Is that what we want? No. The police, what about the DNR, the game wardens? What's our view of them? Are they out to get us? Remember, the authorities that be are not for the they're not for the lawful. They're for the lawless. They're for our well-being. So those are just everyday areas. What about when the building inspector comes out to inspect our house or our concrete that we poured or house that we built? How do we receive them? Or James, the electric, when you put electric in a home or building, do we say, oh, here they come. Hope they don't see, we bristle up at. But we should honor those people. What about the laws of the land? There's many laws in this land. The speed limit, if the sign on the highway says thou shalt not pass, that's for our benefit. It's the road's like, don't pass there. It won't go well with you if you do. Those are just things. What I mean by this is it's an everyday, it's a conversation of life, a life pattern. What about, here's another one, employers or masters? Most of us work for somebody else. There's nobody at the pinnacle or the top that don't answer to somebody else. There isn't. If someone hires us to drywall or paint or put siding on or pour concrete, or we should honor them. And God looks upon that as, that is well-pleasing to the Lord when we can honor what deserves honor in my life. It's a way of life. And God is well pleased if we can embrace that from the heart. Then in 1 Peter 2:17, and what I was going to say, I didn't say it, but the principle of honor from beginning to the end of the scripture, I mentioned that before, but there's always, there's little aspects and examples in scripture of men and women that honored God and those that didn't. And 1 Peter 2:17, it says, this is a brief verse. I want to read that in its entirety. It says, honor all men. Love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. Very short verse. What does honor all men mean? When I thought about that, it's very easy. Sometimes when we see people of a different race or a different nationality or a different country or a different color, we can have an attitude about it. What we need to remember is that each person we see was created in the image of God. And in his likeness, they were created. So God has, he loves them just as much as he does you. And he's not a respecter of persons. Honor all men. Even if they're in different occupations, they don't look like us or do things the way we do them, God would have us to see them as he sees them. Remember that. Because sometimes we can get, I'm going to say, very isolated. We're familiar with all of you. We're right here. And then anything that's outside of that, we kind of like, oh, you know, who's them guys? And there's, but that's what that means in 1 Peter there, honor all men. Because they're created in the image of God, and Jesus in all of his teachings was very clear that God is not a respecter of persons, but he acknowledges all those that come to him. And then that the last part of that verse says, honor the king. Fear God and honor the king. You know, there's a lot could be said there. I went over that a little bit already, but about our civil authorities, local government, but the national government. We have a president. And, yeah, it says honor the king. So I would just say be careful what you say about that. Even though it looks, has many needs, I'm sure it does, but be careful your thoughts and what you say about that. Honor the king. And remember that they're made in the likeness and image of God. And then, the Bible teaches also that we are to honor those that are older than we are. Out of due respect. And I see some of those things here, you know, where, and I'm not saying this in a bad way, but just seeing some things like, you know, children jumping in line, no regard for someone older than they are. It's a principle in life to give honor to those that are older and elderly. Older than I am. It says that in Job 32:6, and Elihu, the son of Barachiel, the Buzites, answered and said, I am young, and ye are very old. Wherefore I was afraid and durst not show you mine opinion. In other words, he had an opinion, but he recognized that this guy's older than I am. I better not say anything. Something to think about. And then it says in Proverbs, Leviticus 19:32, it says, thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man and fear thy God, for I am the Lord. The man with gray hair. Proverbs 23:22, hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Then in the New Testament, it says, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren. In other words, be careful, and I'm not saying that there's no one that is above reproof, but be respectful and careful when you talk to someone older than you are, recognizing that they have some maturity and some experience that I don't have, most generally. And that we can learn from them. The elder women as mothers, the younger sisters with all purity. It just that he was telling Timothy how to treat with respect those that were older than he was. In Proverbs 21:21, it says, he that followeth after righteousness and mercy findeth life, righteousness, and honor. Proverbs 29:23, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Two ways again. Honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. The next one I'd like to talk about is, we had the Bible study the other evening, and I was just thinking this is kind of a something that, yeah, in Proverbs 3:9, it says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. I had to think about that a little bit. Honor the Lord with all thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. I don't know what you all think about that verse, but I believe it means that when the Lord has granted us through our work, our occupations, and whatever it might be, something we sold and things, that we would honor him with the first fruits of that thing. Now, all of us here don't have the same substance and same first fruits. We have different occupations. We do things differently. And yet there's that principle that we should honor the Lord with it. Where are we at with that? In looking at this, I was, sometimes it's very easily to, when we have some substance or first fruits, to think that it's mine. I own it. It's mine. It's not. We're just stewards for a short period of time. But it says to, in Matthew, then Matthew, Jesus said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So to honor the Lord with the first fruits of our substance, you know, when back in the Old Testament, that we could go through that a little bit to bring some clarity, but when they, the first fruits was when they gathered, harvested, whether it was wheat, barley, whatever, there was a certain portion that they brought to as an offering to the Lord or laid it into the Lord's house. They brought it to, they gave to him first. It was that mentality that, and I know there's not a, in the New Testament, in the Old Testament, the tithing was a set figure, a percentage, 10%, but in the New Testament, it's not according to a man has, but according that he has not, but what he has, he should give of with cheerfulness. And there's some teaching here in the New Testament that I thought was, we just go over here in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And when I teach from here, I don't want anyone to feel that I'm pointing any fingers, or I just want to lift up the word of God and the principle that's here. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9, there's teaching on contributing to the necessity of the saints. And there's a few verses in chapter 8, and Paul was commending these churches in that they had prepared for his coming by laying up something to give to him when he got there. And he was telling them that he was pleased with that. And he said here, verse 8, I speak not of 1 Corinthians, or 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 8, he says, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And now let's think about almsgiving and offerings here. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And herein I give my advice. For this is expedient for you. Now he's saying, he's calling it right. It's necessary for you, he says, who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. In other words, prepare for it, and then when it gets here, go ahead and do it. That's what he's saying. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. Jesus, when the women laid in the two mites there at the offering in the when they're at that gathering where they were, he said she laid it. It wasn't the amount, but what she gave it from the heart with what she had. And then he says, for if there first be, I read that, and not according to that he hath not, for I mean not that other men be eased and ye burdened, but by an equality that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, and that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. For as it is written, he that hath gathered much had nothing over, and he that hath gathered little had no lack. Then moving on to the next chapter, in verse 9, I'd like to read that. For as touching ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you. For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. Yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that, as I said, ye may be ready. Lest haply, if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared, we, that we say not ye, should be ashamed in this same confident boasting. Now, he was saying that when the Macedonians come, and I told them that you're going to be prepared to give this offering, and you don't give it when I come, it's going to make it, what is that going to look like? Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof ye had noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Remember that verse. That's the truth. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. And I think if our heart is right in this matter, God willingly takes care of us. He cheerfully takes care of us. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. You see what that does for us. If we have that planned each week, that it increases the fruits of our righteousness. Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Whiles by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, if we say, yeah, we're in subjection, but he's saying that out of this subjection of Jesus Christ, there should be this abundant flow of giving and almsgiving. Your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. And by their prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be unto God for this unspeakable gift. Now, there's a couple Brian this morning. He read Philippians 4:14, just to give you an example here of what we're talking about. Philippians 4:14. Turn to it here. It was a verse right after... Verse 13 says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Then he says, notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. In other words, Paul is saying, you done well in that you physically took care of me. You communicated to me of your bounty. You communicated that to me. And then in Galatians, these are just scriptural principles, and I know that you're a giving group of people, and I don't mean to put I'm just lifting up the honor that goes with that. And then in Galatians, I want to turn to that. Galatians 6, verse 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And then, but verse 6 says, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. So how we give, you know, that word communicate means reciprocation or benevolence, where we give. It means to share with what the Lord has placed into my responsibility. It says here, let him that communicate, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. The verses are connected. Do you see that? The verses hinge on each other. So that's just in our offerings and almsgivings. I thought it would be good to read some clear scripture on it. To where, you know, I'd just like for us to consider a few things here. When we come to the house of God, and there's paper towels in the towel holder in the bathroom, they just didn't land there. It took money to put them there and people to put them in there. You understand that? The paper goods in the basement, that don't just arrive there. It takes some looking after and some funds to support it. So that is why it's important that we prepare to give alms in the house of God every Sunday morning. Why not? It's a principle of life. And remember, I remember Aidan Troyer always said, you can't outgive God. You can't outgive him. So it's just something, I think it's one thing I'd like to just say here is that, you know, you young men, you young marrieds, or even if you have been working out and not married, you know, start. It's a principle of life that it will bless you. It'll be, God looks upon that, it's honoring God, it's just a way to honor God, a little means. It's not, and it's not out of what we have. He gives, it says, not every man can give, but give what you can. That's what he's saying. That it's a beautiful, and it's an eternal principle. It won't, you know, it's, you know, the operation of the church of God, it needs some money. It always has. And God is faithful in looking after that. But we teach, teach and preach about it. The next I'd like to talk to you about is, and this is a little bit, I don't like to stand here and say that, ask people to honor me because I'm a minister, but there is a principle in life that God would have us honor the ministers and pastors of the congregation. And I can preach from this because it's in the Bible. It's not because I fabricated or made it, you know. It's just something that it is here. And the thing about this is that it is not, we don't talk about it too often. That's okay. There's a few verses here. That we're going to look at in the New Testament. You know, even in the Old Testament, when the Levitical priesthood, he made sure that they were looked well after. You know, when they took care of the house of God and the offerings in the sanctuary there, he made sure that they were taken care of. You can read it. I mean, it was a principle of God. But today we're in the New Testament. But let's look at in Philippians 2, 2:29. If I can get it here. This was Paul speaking of Epaphroditus, which was a minister that he sent to them. Verse 25, yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you and was full of heaviness because that ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick, nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Now Paul was in a hard spot. I send him therefore the more carefully, that when ye see him again, ye may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. In verse 29, receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation. Honor him. I sent this minister to you, honor him. That's what Paul's saying. Because for the work of Christ, he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. Now there was something that Paul was expecting from them that Epaphroditus supplied to him in their stead. Now he sent him back and says, hold him in reputation, honor him. And that is, you know, when I speak of honoring pastors and ministers here, it's something that, you know, I get to exercise in my life as well. You know, there's pastors and ministers from other churches and congregations that the Lord has called to responsibility to shepherd those flocks, that I should honor them. And I have that opportunity. That God has called them to that service over there, and it's my responsibility to give them honor where it's due. And it's just, so I'm not exempt from, just because I'm a minister here, don't mean I'm exempt from this principle, is what I'm trying to say. And that goes for Noah and Matt and Victor here as well, that they honor those that the Lord has called into that responsibility. It says here in 1 Thessalonians 5:13, I'd like to turn to that a little bit. 1 Thessalonians. I trust here that I have the liberty to preach here on this topic. Not that I've, you know, in verse 12 it says, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now he's speaking to the laity here, the brothers, that in order for, you know, to honor them, look to be at peace among yourself. Don't have strife and contention floating around in the congregation. That puts a burden on the ministry. Look after that, to be at peace among yourselves. There's just things, little things. And that is honoring the minister. And then the next one is in 1 Timothy 5:17. I'm going to turn to that as well. 1 Timothy 5:17. It says, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. Hebrews 13:7. And the thing that I would just teach all of you, children on up, God has a way of governing his church, the bride of Christ, and it's something, but by the grace of God, it'll remain in place. It's an eternal principle that you honor those that are called to service in the Lord's house. 1 Timothy 5:17. I did read that. There's one more, Hebrews 13:7. There's actually two verses in Hebrews 13, verse 7 and verse 17. It says, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. And then verse 17 says, obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Now I think of, I'm going to speak just a little bit here. It comes to mind of God has called. We look at here, let's just have, we got a circle here that we'll put a bunch of dots here in our minds, but we're going to call it the sheepfold, and which is the Church of Jesus Christ. And God has designed it that sheepfold has a shepherd. God has not left the sheepfold shepherdless, if I can say it that way. You know, he wants his people to be led and to that they can be an example in life of a tight-knit brotherhood or sheepfold that has some shepherds that have clear direction for the congregation. And the thing that we need to understand is, as ministers and pastors, it's maybe I'm too much this way, but there's always a tendency to look out to the future. What's ahead? Make so we're prepared for the future. Make so the flock is prepared for the future. Where is the direction we're going today going to be in 20 years? Is it going to land? Is it going to land right? That's the burden of the shepherd's heart. He wants the sheep to land in the right place. And the thing that I'd like to consider about that is that that's not my design. The shepherd and the sheep, that's not my design. It's an eternal principle of God's word. He has always had shepherds for the sheep of his pasture. From Genesis to Revelations, he's always had that. And so I think that sometimes if we can get those eternal principles settled in our hearts, that is the way we honor God. It's not some grand, huge undertaking. It's an everyday fact of our general course of life. That is where we can give honor where honor is due. What about the church of the living God? In Hebrews, it talks about the general assembly and to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn God, which are written in heaven. The church, which in Timothy says is the pillar and ground of truth, is there honor in my heart for that, the bride of Christ? How it functions together, how it ministers, what witness is it giving? Do I have a burden for the witness that is going out from this congregation? Or am I indifferent? Or don't I care? Or do I really care and have a concern about it? Of the witness that is going out from this congregation. Do I believe that the church here at Concord Christian Fellowship is the pillar and ground of truth where I can come and be taught and encouraged and edified and be held to accountability? Do I want accountability in my life? You know, accountability is for my benefit. It is for my blessing and receiving. Then I'd like to mention here Romans 12:10, or there's a few other verses here in 1 Peter. It talks about the husbands. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Now, we as husbands have that opportunity every day to honor our wives as the weaker vessel. And, you know, put that in practice in areas like, you know, as the weaker vessel, the wife is not going to pour concrete. She's not going to do the man's work. We honor her when we recognize that, no, she's not. That's good. I'll do it. The things in life that we encounter every day, the duties that don't belong to the wife, they belong to me. They belong to the husbands. That is how you honor your wife and render them due benevolence. Those are the little things. Romans 12:10 says, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. And then it says, in honor, preferring one another. That's within these walls in the church. And then there's quite a few verses in Revelations. There's a verse in, then in all of this, we talked about honoring our parents. We talked about honoring authorities. We talked about the workplace and the premium example that we have is Jesus Christ. In all, in everything that he did, he gave glory to his heavenly Father. Everything. He said, a few verses here, it speaks of servants or servanthood. In John 12:26, it says, if any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. That's the promise. If we seek to honor God in our life, God will honor us. Isn't that a rich promise? That's beyond description. In John 5:23, Jesus said that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which has sent him. That all men should honor the Son. When we honor the Son, we honor the Father. They're linked. And then as we consider the word honor, what is the opposite? It's dishonor. And the thing that I'd like to mention here is that in all of these principles, in no way have I exhausted the honor that is described in the Bible. I tried to get some of it, but in no way have I, you know, Solomon and David, and there's many examples, Joseph and Moses and the people that they honored. But in the thing that we understand is that if it's not honor, it's what? It's dishonor. It's not both of them. I want you to consider that. If it's not honor, it's dishonor. You know, God is, in one verse here, it says that in Romans 9:21, it says, hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? 2 Timothy 2:20, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. And then in 2 Timothy, it gives us promise that if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. I just like to think about that verse a little bit, that if we purpose in our heart to give honor where honor is due, we will be a blessed people. And then, you know, if we surrender to God's divine order in this principle, God is well pleased. And then I'd like to ask the question that I started with. Where is our honor going today, and what are we bestowing it on? We give honor to something. We hold something in high regard, and let us honor what God would have us honor, and we will be a blessed people. So that is all I would have today. And when I spoke of the pastors and ministers, we have needs for sure, but there's still a principle that goes with that, and I'm not saying that anyone has dishonored any one of us here, but I know my heart in years past that I did not treat ministers with a very high regard. I knew where I was. But by the grace of God, I changed my heart in those matters. God's house has a divine order, and he uses pastors and ministers in that capacity. So that is all I would have for today. And if there was something shared that is unscriptural, why, please come talk to me. May the Lord bless all of you.